Welcome to the Flutracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 3:19 p.m. that is Central Time. Today is May 17th. I thought we'd kick off with the CDS on US debt. It was at 175 basis points earlier this week, now at 155. So, considering the scope of the acceleration and the size of the downward dynamics, it's good. I think there's a good chance that this is the end of this trend, and that is pricing in the potential that politicians are going to reach a deal about the size of the or how much they're likely to raise the debt ceiling by. Or, and I think that really is probably the biggest source of uncertainty. Will they raise it for 6 months, a year, or will they do something a bit more far-sighted? But I think it's more likely that they'll continue to use it as an election ploy, even though the chances are that it's not gaining points for any party. But the reality is that with the prospect of the debt ceiling getting raised without causing a default type situation, then that's positive for stocks. So the S&P 500 was in positive territory today. Still ranging here below the 4200 level, which has been an area of resistance now for a year, and it doesn't feel like that long, but certainly markets have been up and down a lot in the last year. And then we can think about, well, if they're going to raise the debt ceiling, that pretty much ensures there is going to be a lot more debt issued. So bond yields were also higher, and the 10-year yield is up through the 3.5% level again, and this has been ranging for most of the last 9 months. So a lot of rangy markets in the US right now. But then the next question, of course, is, well, if they're going to continue to raise interest rates, or perhaps they're not going to raise interest rates. Maybe we're at the peak of the interest rate hiking cycle, but they're going to continue to issue debt. That's not great news for the debt markets, and that's helping to increase yields. What is interesting, though, is that the regional banks and banks generally are starting to respond more positively to higher interest rates. So there's a positive correlation starting to come through. So the regional banks index was up in quite a dynamic manner today. Now it's very oversold. So there is clear potential that it could unwind the oversold condition relative to the 200-day moving average. And from current levels, that could be as much as 20, if not 25% on the upside. When we look at some of the biggest movers in here today, well, you have PacWest and Bank of Hawaii, which were some of the most troubled of the companies. So maybe if we just simply look at the charts for three of those. PacWest was on a short list of companies more likely than not to go bust. And when we look at the size of the move, well, it has to be viewed in context from the base effect, which has been really quite profound. Then Bank of Hawaii has also been selling off very aggressively more recently, and that's a more convincing upward dynamic in here today. And again, from a very depressed level overall, and we're taking prices now all the way back to basically around where they were right at the peak of panic during the crisis period in during the credit crisis. Then you have a local bank here in Dallas, Texas Capital Bank, has not sold off as aggressively, but it has rebounded very emphatically. Now, I don't believe it's insider knowledge, but I certainly have a lot of a number of friends who are working there. And a lot of the people around this part of the world, their early part of the career they spent was during the savings and loan crisis. And 1,000 banks went bust during the savings and loan crisis. And they've been a lot more cautious about taking a lot of interest rate risk. So that's helped to preserve the balance sheets of some of these banks. But what it does help to highlight is that Not every bank was run like Silicon Valley Bank. There will be opportunities. There will be banks that will perform better. Then, if we look at the S&P 500 banks index, it was also steadier, and it is, I think, likely to unwind the short-term oversold condition. But the challenge, of course, is that we're not yet at a point where interest rates are starting to come back down, and we still have inverted yield curves. So while there might not be existential risk for some of these banks, the reality is that when you have an inverted yield curve and you have one that's been inverted for months at a time, then it's very difficult to make money by borrowing short and lending long. So I wouldn't anticipate that there's going to be a profound recovery in some of these banking shares just yet. Now, when we're at the opposite condition, when interest rates have come back down and the yield curve is sharply positive, that would be a much more benign environment for banks more generally. Now, then let's think about the continued outperformance of the Fang Man plus Tesla companies. And that ratio has continued to advance. It's now right back in the region of the peak from 2020 and 2021. And most of these companies were in positive territory in here today. So Google continues to extend its breakout, and the clear pattern of behavior is that companies that have wholeheartedly embraced artificial intelligence are being richly rewarded by investors. So Nvidia is coming back up into the region of its peak from back in 2021. Now, this is on the promise of future sales from artificial intelligence rather than the reality. And price to sales ratios for some of these companies are very high. But then we're starting to see catch up as well. So AMD was up in a really quite dynamic manner in here today, bouncing from the region of the 200-day moving average over the last couple of weeks. Then I think it's also rather interesting to monitor what's going on in China right now. So Tencent is firming from the region of the 200-day moving average, and it has clearly broken the medium-term downtrend. So this is looking like the first consolidation following that break, and this is I think, a reasonable level to expect some support to start to come back in. And Alibaba is putting in what's potentially a base formation and has inverted head and shoulders characteristics, which is consistent with base formation development. Both of these companies have a big catch up, or have a challenge to catch up with the clear outperformance of companies like Nvidia, and Baidu is another one. So the one thing they all share is access to volumes of data on which to train AI programs. Then the next challenge will be to come up with products that are sellable. But they will certainly be given leeway from the Chinese government in order to achieve that, because artificial intelligence is a national priority. So that's certainly something that's helping to build some kind of enthusiasm for the tech sector. But the H share index was in negative territory in here today, despite that rally in Tencent. So it does, of course, I think we need to pay attention to the fact that the property sector is still under a great deal of stress. So you've got Country Garden and Longfor, and Country Garden Holdings and Services. They're all still in the lower performers today, and down in excess of 7% for Country Garden Hold Services. So China is definitely not willing to put a great deal of cash into supporting the property market. They're willing to do what's necessary to avoid a chronic default in some of these property developers, and they're trying to create some demand to stabilize housing prices, but they're not willing to create a massive swell of new money printing. But what they are doing is pouring money into the kinds of sectors that are required to compete with high technology leaders around the world. I think the kind of deal that Airbus signed with China last month or earlier this month is perhaps the most instructive. China is going to be building narrow body and wide body aircraft. And Boeing is taking one approach, which is to continue to go it alone. And Airbus has decided that they're going to try and partner with China in order to gain access to the Chinese market. So that's certainly helping to support Airbus's share price in the near term. But of course, eventually the domestic Chinese aeronautics companies are going to become highly competitive, and then that's going to be problematic for Airbus. So it's a sort of a short-term good news story, long-term not so great story. Now, when we think about what else is going on in here, well, platinum prices have been quite steady and have sustained the move above the $1,000 level, and we're in positive territory in here today. There is increasing speculation that there will be a deficit of platinum this year, and a lot of that has to do with increasing demand for catalytic converters and supply disruptions in South Africa. And provided platinum can sustain a move up through the $1,200 level, well, that would really very categorically complete the base formation. The South African rand continues to trend lower, so this is the dollar trending higher against it, and that was a very big dynamic move last week, and it's so far been sustained. It suggests that this pause we've seen under the 20 level isn't likely to last very long. And of course, that's obviously going to be problematic for the South African market. But it does highlight the very real potential that Eskom might not be able to supply electricity to much of the country. And they're going to be under a great deal of political pressure to prioritize the needs of consumers over industry. And that could potentially be a catalytic event for the platinum price. Now, gold prices have been hovering around the 2000 level, and we're in negative territory in here today, and back in the region of the lower side of this range that's been forming for the last 6 or 7 weeks. And a pause in consolidation around the $2,000 level isn't, I think, too surprising. Having raced to get up here and the big psychological level, it's just a logical area where people might ask the question, what next? And look for evidence that the move above that big psychological level can be sustained. The, I think, primary reason why gold remains firm is twofold. The first is that central banks around the world are buying more of it, but I think traders more generally are looking on gold as a hedge against the very clear potential that money printing is going to kick up again whenever there is a recession, and that these tight credit conditions are not going to last indefinitely. And when the central banks of the world and governments are worried about growth, then they'll have to start printing and devaluing the purchasing power of their respective currencies, and that will be beneficial for assets that are of limited supply. And Bitcoin has been under pressure for the last couple of weeks, but it came back in to test the region of both the 1,000-day and the 200-day moving averages, and then it started to steady in here today. And I think that is clearly speculation that liquidity conditions are potentially going to improve. Then, of course, that might have something to do with the potential for a successful renegotiation of the US debt ceiling. Oil prices were also in positive territory in here today, so still holding here in the region of 70 and building or attempting to build some support here, but at least a break of the medium-term sequence of lower rally highs would be required to question the downward bias overall. We're still in an environment where credit conditions are tightening, interest rates are still high, and inflationary pressures have not quite been vanquished. And then, of course, the clear correl or the, I guess, differentiation here is that regardless of how the debt ceiling negotiations go in the USA, it's very unlikely that real a readoption of some kind of fiscal probity is going to be agreed to. But then you have countries like Brazil, where they've been exceptionally aggressive in raising interest rates, and the government has had a fiscal measure imposed upon them. And that was largely as a result of the central bank basically refusing to cut interest rates, despite the lower economic slowing down economic activity and tightening credit. And that's helping to support the Brazilian real. And then the Mexican peso, in a similar type of situation, has been the best performing currency this year, even if it is a little overbought in the very short term. But then let's just pay attention to what's happening in Japan, because the yen was weaker today by 1.25 yen. So right now, back in the region of the upper, the dollar is in the region of the upper side of this range that's been forming for the last 3 months, and there is clear potential that it is going to break higher from here. The Japanese administration in the Bank of Japan have been very clear in stating that they're committed to their quantitative easing program, that they are going to continue with their yield curve control and continue to print, and that is yen bearish. And it's also creating a hedged demand for the Nikkei, which was up to another 250 points in here today and pushing up and through the 30,000 level. So Japanese investors looking for the potential for price appreciation against the background of a depreciating currency. And the WisdomTree Japan Hedged Equity ETF is accelerating higher here. So there's certainly a lot of more demand for hedged exposure to Japan. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.